I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 579. This is your host, Danny. And also we have the regular co-hosts in the house. Let's start with Paris.
Can we talk about this Pokemon Go red light thing or whatever y'all call it? Because
yes,
I'm going to be the angry old man. Get off my lawn. So, hi.
All right.
Hi. Everybody.
We will. That's the plan, Paris. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So, stay tuned, guys, because Paris has a lot of things to say about Pokemon Go. And also joining us, Pete, in the house.
What's up? Just came back from hunting the Pokemons, so let's go. I'm ready.
All right. That's how you do it. That's how you do it, sir. How's everything?
Doing good. Doing well. Got a workout in this morning. Got one in last night. Went Pokemon hunting yesterday with the kids. That's like a whole new strange thing now. We'll talk about more of that later tonight in the show.
All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our past episodes and make sure to share with your friends. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. You could also give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. I just got back from Chicago, by the way, beautiful city. I was there for a couple of days for podcast movement. And also, I was celebrating my birthday over there too, man. So I had a great, great time. The cool thing about the event is the night of the awards, I invited a couple of our local listeners that live in Chicago. So shout out to Cicero, Spawn On Me Podcast. Make sure to subscribe. Those are our family right there, man. Also, Javier, Tanya, and Terry. Everybody else that couldn't make it to at the awards and the meetup and stuff. So it was cool. I had a great, great time. We had a long conversation about gaming and podcasting, everything. So it was awesome. So, and that's about it. Anything else, guys, before we start with our topics?
No, I'm ready to go. Let's just jump right in.
All right. Let's talk about this Pokemon Go. Paris sounds really, really angry, Pete. I don't know why.
Well, I think it'd be better off if we started off to let's describe what it is.
Okay, go for it.
For those that aren't aware or aren't familiar with it. So, and I'll take this back, say 3-4 years ago. Google and Niantic Labs came out with a game called Ingress. Ingress is an assisted VR game that uses your phone, the camera, and the GPS to entice or encourage people to get out of the house and check out their environments. So with Ingress, the main idea was for people to go out and check out local monuments, points of interest, whether it be like a statue or a school or a library or historical buildings or locations. And people would go around and you would try and capture these specific areas. And there was two teams. There was a red team and a blue team. And you tried to capture and link specific points to kind of like, you know, grab areas. Think of it as connecting the dots for 3 or 4 different areas and then making the linked area on the inside your color. So what Niantic did with Pokemon Go is they took Pokemon a little bit, they took Ingress and expanded it to the Pokemon universe. So you're no longer capturing points of interest, but it encourages people to go out and check out your neighborhoods or wherever you happen to be. And if you find Pokemon, try to capture them. So I've got a long history with Pokemon. Simply, that was my bonding thing with my son growing up. You know, so that was that was an amazing experience for me, just to be able to do something with my son and both of us jump into Pokemon as, you know, as he was growing up. And now my daughter was at, she was at Disney World just a couple of days ago for her birthday. And she was out there with her best friend and my wife, and she was out there at Disney World catching Pokemon. Like, that's kind of like the opposite. You're supposed to be going out there to do the rides and check out Disney. But yeah, so I, you know, when she came back, you know, yesterday from Disney, her and her best friend went walking around the neighborhood. It was hot AF. It's crazy. But, you know, we were walking around catching Pokemon, and it was just a great bonding experience for me and her. You know, it's just, it was a little bit different than what me and my son used to do, you know, playing the card game or watching the TV show. Whereas her and I were walking around the city and, you know, getting to know our neighborhood and looking for Pokemon. It was just, it's for me, it's fun if you like the Pokemon experience. If you don't, and maybe that's where the salty Paris comes in, where maybe he's just not into the Pokemon. So he just doesn't, it just doesn't appeal to him. And it's not for everybody, but it is, for me, it was exciting. I came back from the gym, went to the store to grab some things for her birthday party. And in a rush to get back here, I was like, wait, I forgot there's Pokemon here. And I stopped the car, pulled out my phone, and I caught like 3 or 4 in the parking lot and then came home.
What level are you now?
5.
5? Oh, cool, cool. I just started playing the other day. Now I'm on level 3. And it's fun, man. Like, last night, I was like playing and stuff, and then my fiance was like, "Hey, let's drive by around here, this college, to see if we find some Pokemon." I'm like looking at her like, "Are you for real?" Because she's not into this stuff, and she's like, "Let's do it. Let's see if we find something." All right, so we're driving by, and then I noticed there was other cars doing the same thing. I'm like, "Wait a minute, are they playing Pokemon too, or are they just like, you know, are they students, you know?"
So that's
driving around
there. That's one of the cool things of AR type games like Ingress and Pokemon Go, where now there's a visual stimuli to show you, okay, look, that person might be doing it, and that'll encourage you guys to go up and meet people that you might not ever meet. So when the wife and I were playing Ingress a couple of years ago, we happened to be at a bar, and I had just captured an area. And in this mall, it's like an open air mall with a couple of restaurants. There's about 20 to 25 bronze statues scattered throughout. So every time you caught one and you caught another one, and the more you caught, it started linking bigger and bigger areas. Now, when you would capture an area, it would draw people either from the blue or the red side to try and capture it back, or to try to boost it so that it wouldn't, you know, wouldn't get taken. And then, so her and I are at a, I think it was an event for, it was some kind of event at a bar where they were trying to raise money for cancer or something like that. And I saw some guy and his wife or his girlfriend on their phone, and I saw the screen of Ingress. And I was like, oh my God, they're playing Ingress. And so we actually came up and we're like, hey, are you guys playing Ingress? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, oh my God, that's hilarious. And so we started talking. They happened to be on the opposite team, but at that point, it was like, okay, this is really cool. Like, now we're going out and it's forcing us to meet people that we probably never would have met or come up to and said hello over this AR game. And so now people are starting to do that. And I hope that it sticks to the walking portion of it and people aren't doing this in the car, like actively doing it on their phone, because you're going to cause an accident. Yes. So there's always those that are going to go to the extreme. But I think it's dope that a game like this, especially as innocent as Pokemon, where it's not a third or first person shooter or anything. It's something as I don't want to say childish, but something as innocent as Pokemon can affect and get people of all ages into it and doing things. You know, it's a really cool experience.
Well, one last thing before we go to Paris, one of my friends, he's a cop, and he was driving around. He noticed that somebody was at the park late at night walking around and stuff, and he stopped him. He's like, "Officer, look, officer, I'm just hunting for Pokemon, man. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm just hunting for Pokemon." And the officer started laughing, man. It's like, it's awesome, man. But Paris, what do you have to say about this?
I mean, that's literally just my grumpy old man statement is what you just said. Is I get that it's a social experience, is getting people out of the house and they're exploring and they're seeing things that they may not have necessarily seen before, you know, or experienced before, which is great. that's good. I love the social aspect of this game. Have I played it? No. And will I play it? Probably not, because I'm old and bitter, so I don't do such things. But it's that thing of I just on social media seeing people not breaking into stores or breaking into places they shouldn't be, but just being places that, you know, after hours and looking shady because, you know, people don't know what they're doing. And I don't know if you saw that one thing I shared on Instagram. So, and I don't even know if this is real or not, but supposedly some office put out a statement saying that, hey, you're here to work, not to chase fictional video game characters on your mobile phone. And he's like, and unless you stop, you'll be unemployed and you have all the time you need to catch them all. I just thought that was hilarious. But I mean, all jokes aside, it's, I get the game. I get that you guys are into it and digging it. This is not something I would do personally.
So,
but
on that whole, you know, you're here to work, around that time that I was playing Ingress, sorry. And by the way, as we're recording, I just caught a rat-a-tat.
You're
speaking another language. I don't even know what you're talking about. But go ahead.
It's a purple rat. So
I just captured one last night.
Apparently this neighborhood is littered with them. But anyways, I digress. So a couple of years ago, I'm at my office. I'm sitting at my desk and I'm working and my phone buzzes. And it's like, a point you have captured is under attack. I literally jumped out of my cube, ran to my car, drove across the street, and the guy had just finished capturing it. And I see his van driving away, and I pull up, and I start to attack it, and I take it back. But at that point, I was like, you know what? This is getting heated. Like, I'm literally risking employment by running out to capture this thing. And so this might be going a little too far. I think it might be time to start scaling back. Because and that's where like you need to start catching that self-control and not mm-hmm. letting this take over your life. Because it is, I don't want to say it's addicting, but it has those tendencies, because now, you know, you want to go out and you want to start catching them. It's the competitive nature of people, I would assume. But things like that can definitely risk employment. So you don't want to take that out. You know, you don't want to maybe take that risk.
Well, there's also businesses too that are posting posters outside, like signs saying, yes, you could come inside the store and capture Pokemon, because they want customers inside the store. So I've seen those.
Well, I've seen other ones that say Pokemon here are only for paying customers.
For paying customers, yeah, I've seen those ones too.
So, and then the bar, so we have an art gallery / bar. It's a brew house. Like they brew their own and their craft beers, and they sell craft beers, local craft beers, in an art gallery. And they actually posted out on social media yesterday. They're like, hey, please come in. We've got plenty of Pokemon, apparently, and took a picture of it here to be captured. So come on in. So it's not just a social / game experience. It's also an amazing marketing tool, apparently.
Man, see, we remember last year we were talking about this. Like, man, I see the potential of this to be big. And this is a great move by Nintendo. I think this is going to be something that now, when they see the results of like so many people getting this game and also buying those microtransactions within the game too, we're probably going to see more games similar to this from Nintendo in the future because of this major move, you know? So it's a game changer, in my opinion, for them.
It's funny, because when we talked about this a year ago, when they first announced it, I didn't think of the game as the next evolution of Ingress. I thought it was a totally different game, and it didn't hit me until it finally mm-hmm. came out in the wild and I realized that this is just a Pokemon version of Ingress. That's and unfortunately, it's funny because I've seen people still playing it, and I still get the alerts from Google, you know, that, you know, there's a new level, there's a new iteration of Ingress and more things are available. It didn't hit me until then that I was like, oh my God, I know exactly how to play this game. And then mm-hmm. knowing that my daughter was having fun with my son as well, it's like, okay, here's an excellent opportunity for me, you know, to spend more time and bond with them, because we both have those personal interactions with, or personal experiences with Pokemon. I'm all for it. I dig it.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's awesome, man. So,
welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Very quick. I posted this to you guys. I sent you an email about it. But now Amazon just posted pre-orders for Xbox Play Anywhere versions of Forza Horizon 3 and a couple of the games, I believe, Halo Wars and Gears of War. And when you get to see the cover of the games, it has the Xbox One logo and also has the Windows 10 logo there. So it's pretty cool, man. Now we're going to get to see a lot of those in the future now that Microsoft is going to be pushing this like big time, man. They're taking this very, very seriously, man. So Pat, didn't you send you posted a link, I think wasn't on a Google chat, about Phil Spencer. He has a couple of things to say about that too.
Well, okay. So backing up, Yusuf Mehdi had an interview, and the wording of what Microsoft official statement about Xbox Anywhere changed to the point where it was saying the games that you saw on stage at E3 will be Xbox Anywhere games. In other words, not every game moving forward for Microsoft Studios will be Xbox Anywhere. So PC Gamer linked to that and they had tweeted it out. So Phil Spencer responded on Twitter to PC Gamer and said, just clarifying, it could be a unique game, not right for all devices. Intent to bring our franchises to Windows 10 and Xbox One has not changed. So what he's saying is, things like Gears of War, Halo, Forza, they're franchise titles. They're going to be Xbox Anywhere. But if there's this unique experience game that doesn't quite fit on console, like for example, you need mouse and keyboard to play it, they may not bring it to Xbox One, or vice versa. There's something that really only works on console. They're going to keep it on console and not bring it to Windows 10. And I think there's, in other words, there's going to be a few one-off experiences this way, which to me is fine. Basically, if Microsoft is committing to bringing all of their big tentpole titles like Crackdown 3, etc., will be on both, there's nothing to complain about. It's exactly what they said it was going to be at E3. But if they create, for example, some kind of unique RTS that just simply will not work with a controller in your hand, why would you want that on Xbox One? People will just complain, like, I can't play this game. It doesn't make sense to me. You're forcing me to go play it on Windows 10, even though I can play it on Xbox One. So it makes sense to me. I'm fine with this. Again, everything that I've said previously about Xbox Anywhere still stands. I don't think Microsoft is backtracking necessarily, because you can't go into this, go on stage and make this big deal about being able to do crossplay and Windows 10 and Xbox One, don't worry about the hardware, etc., and then backtrack on it a year later. It would completely kill Microsoft Game Studios if they did.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, man, because, you know, if they're, and at the same time too, this is another way for gamers to decide, like, you know what, I'm gonna get a PC just to play this game, maybe, that it's not available on Xbox One or vice versa, you know? So it makes sense. It makes sense what you were saying. So
is it possible? But I know, is it possible that damage could have been done by the quickness of the media to try to jump on the negativity of, oh, maybe they're backtracking now. Oh, here it is.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, the fact that Phil Spencer even had to respond and clarify it said something that they look, Microsoft. I mean, it was funny on NeoGAF. I was reading a whole thread about this when this first came out, and someone had quotes from every year of Microsoft, I think going back to 2005, where they were saying they were committed to PC gaming. And every time it would change, you know, and just boom, 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 all the, you know, basically a decade of them saying this stuff to here we are today with them. Now the new thing is Xbox Anywhere. I mean, we got to let the thing come out first. Like, to me, if a Halo 6 doesn't come out on Windows 10, then this fails, right? All your big games have to be on both, or you basically, everything that you said at this E3 is just null and void. So as long as they put all the big games on both, I don't see this being an issue. Again, it just gives people choice, which, by the way, I need to clarify something, because I've been getting, I don't say I've been getting heat on Twitter, but people on Twitter at me basically telling me what I'm going to do. Look, I'm a grown ass man. You don't tell me what I'm going to do. I'm not getting Scorpio. I'm not getting Scorpio. Why would I get Scorpio after I had to spend all this money on a 1080? And I'm doing, again, this whole Xbox Anywhere thing. what would be my point of getting Scorpio? That makes no sense to me. And people are like, oh no, you're going to get it. One person even said, you're going to get it because you're going to want to play Destiny 2 on it. So yeah, I'm just going to take all my progress on PlayStation and throw it in the trash and go get a Scorpio. That makes zero sense to me. I'm not doing that at all.
I mean, are they taking it personal that you're not buying a Scorpio?
No one seems to be mad. I'm just kind of getting the wink, wink. Oh, you'll cave. You'll get it. Because you remember last week I said, I'm not getting Xbox One S. I'm not getting Scorpio. So basically people are trying to tell me I'm lying. So wait, look, we'll see a year from now what I do. All right. I'm telling you, I'm not doing it. So if anything, my scenario is I'll most likely get the Neo because I'm going to want to keep a PlayStation. But my PC is now my Xbox. I don't see a reason to own an Xbox. Sorry, Esco, I'm not getting one. You could tweet me all the Xbox One X pitches you want, but I'm not getting one. I don't see a reason to get one.
And believe it or not, if Paris buys a game that's an Xbox One game for the PC, that's a way for Microsoft also getting money too. It's not exactly only buying a console. So why are you even mad about that?
No, I just don't get it. I don't think people were mad. I just think people were thinking, oh yeah, he's just talking, but at the end of the day, he'll cave to pressure and get one. But it's like you just said, my PC is my Xbox. I'm getting Xbox games. I'm not saying I won't play Halo or Gears or any of these other games that are coming out. Absolutely, I will. I'm just going to do it on my PC, and I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Should we do the whole fan mail stuff now or what?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
That one sounds perfect, Pete. Congrats. I like that.
That's two cups of coffee and an extra creamer for that.
Yeah. All right. All right, this voicemail is from Steven, all the way from Houston.
Hi, this is Steven from Houston. I love the show, guys. Great show. I just had a couple questions about The Witcher 3. I recently picked it up, and I was it hasn't really hooked me yet as I started playing, and I just was wondering if when you guys started playing it for the first time, if that was something that y'all experienced. But also my question was, what advice would y'all have or would y'all give for anyone who was starting out the game for the first time? Love the show, guys. Thanks. Bye.
All right. So that's a question about The Witcher. He wants to know, like, you know, for those that are starting the game, can you give them an advice? Is it going to get better the game later on or what?
So I've been playing again. I started over from scratch. I didn't do a new game plus. I was just like, I'm going to just start over because I want to do a completely new build. I want to make different choices than I did the first time around a year ago and just see how it is. So that's what I've been doing the last week or so here. And a lot of people have been hitting me up on Twitter since I've been talking about it, asking basically what he's asking about advice on what to do. My thing is simple. Just take your time. This is not a game to rush through and just hurry up and get to the end. If anything, I try my hardest to not do the main quest because there's so many secondary quests and treasure hunts and contracts and things that you can do. I've probably put a good 30 plus hours into this game just in the last week or so, and I'm still in Velen. I haven't even left Velen yet. but my advice would be take your time. Don't let all the question marks and points of interest on the map overwhelm you. I mean, there's so many different things to do, but if you just take your time, tackle a few quests at a time, a few side quests at a time, go play some Gwent, you know, to change things up, you know, do some of the Gwent quests to chase some of the different cards from the various vendors and merchants and stuff. You know, embrace the open world of The Witcher, because I think that's the highlight of this game, just what CD Projekt Red has done to make this open world that just... it's just living and breathing, and there's just so many things going on and so many different things to do. And as you go on, I get the fact that some people may not get hooked with it right away, but I think once you get out of White Orchard and you get to Velen and the story picks up a little bit and some of the side quest stuff and just the choices that you'll have to make, I mean, it's going to hook you. And once you get to the Skellig and just on that, and obviously into some of the further DLC, man, the game's just amazing. Like I said, I'm probably 30 something hours into this play, and this time I'm doing more of a signs and an alchemy build versus doing more of an attack build. So just like I said, to change things up, I'll easily put 150 hours into this game. Easy. You know what I mean? And it'll I'll probably still be playing and talking about this well into December of this year, going into 2017. That's just how much content and things there is to do, especially with all the DLC now. So that'd be my advice.
And see, like, the more side quests you complete, that also going to help your character. And at the same time, after that, after your character's level up pretty high, and then you could start, you know, doing more stuff than the main quest. Because later on, if you just rush that, there's going to be times you're going to be stuck because your character is not even strong enough to battle, like, some of these bosses or these enemies around certain areas. So take your time, do a lot of side quests, and travel. Just explore. You're going to find a lot of cool things, man.
By the way, and this is not a spoiler because I won't say what happened, but the Bloody Baron quest, I made a different choice and it went a completely different direction than where it did the first time I played. I blew my mind. I was like, oh, I didn't know this was an option. You know, it's just things like that, man. There's just so many different branching paths in this game, which is crazy. So people that done Bloody Baron, basically, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to ruin it. But yeah, I was shocked at the choice that came up.
Are you the type of person that strategically does saves throughout the game in case
it makes
a decision that you regret and you can always go back and say, okay, let me go in the path I wanted to go?
No. Actually, I don't do that because I feel like whatever choice I made, I need to stick with it. I make strategic saves just in case something corrupts or I lose. Yeah. Because, matter of fact, I can give you this real quick. I won't stay on it too long. I had found this, again, something I didn't do the first time through. I found this cave in Velen and I was exploring through and found these treasure chests and all this stuff. And as I'm coming out the cave, I was a little bit low on health and I saw this bear and I'm level 13 right now and the bear was 12. And I was like, okay, I'll just run past the bear real quick and, you know, and I'll fight him. I was like, and I'll make a save. Well, the bear took one swipe at me and killed me. It literally wiped all my progress that I had exploring that cave. So I had to re-explore that entire cave again. So things like that is while I'll get to certain points. I was like, let me make sure I save here just in case something silly happens and I have to go back and grab all this gear again. But I freaking love the game. It's still, for this generation, it is the, without question, the best game I've played. 100%.
Definitely, man. Definitely. All right, so let's go with the second question. This is a voicemail for a time caller.
Hey, what's going on, GTR? First time caller, pretty new listener. Link Flores, gamer tag, Link IP on Xbox Live. I just had a comment about the perception that PlayStation is, quote-unquote, winning. In my opinion, well, based on the facts, like, yeah, they are winning the console war, but in my opinion, especially for the last two E3s in particular, I heard you guys echo a similar sentiment. They're not releasing any dates for games, and that seems to be a little troubling. It basically turns out to be a sizzle reel before you watch the movie. You go in 15 minutes early to watch all these previews, and then you come out, and you don't even get to see the movie, kind of is what Sony's doing. At least Microsoft is trying to push dates and, you know, give actual concrete products and information to those consumers. So I don't necessarily agree with that idea that they're winning E3s while they are winning the console race. However, I think that perception, as you guys have pointed out, is going to flip on its ear over the next year or so with the release of the Xbox Slim and the Scorpio. Kind of intrigued to see the Scorpio myself and get into 4K gaming at some point in the future. But in the meantime, in between time, thanks, guys, so much for the show. Love you guys. Love your posts. And I'll be following, listening, and sharing as often as I can. I'm out.
All right. He had a few things to say about, you know, about the whole PlayStation winning the console war. What are your guys' thoughts about this?
Do we have to keep addressing, like, the console war thing? Not to take anything away from your question. Thank you for calling. But
yeah,
when does it start to get old? When people
it's been old.
Like I don't want to diminish the call. You know, thanks again for it. But like, it's almost like every week we have to discuss why or when, and it's I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe just, you know, too much coffee and not enough Pokemon in my life or something. But don't know. It's starting to get old with the whole, oh, we got to keep addressing,
Pokemon.
No.
Yeah, because I am hooked. But yeah, you have to keep addressing the, you know, Sony versus PlayStation.
I mean, it's just a conversation, OP. It's not something like, you could tell that he was like, hey, look, you guys had a great conversation. I have something to say about it. What are your thoughts about it? That's it, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, and again, it sounds like he's a newer listener, which, you know, which is great. Obviously, maybe he's not heard the years of arguing about this nonsense that we've had. But I mean, it really comes down to this. It's your personal preference. It's whatever you want to spend your money on. Don't let someone else tell you what console or what games you should be playing. If you want an Xbox and you love you some Xbox, get an Xbox, play your games there. If you love PlayStation, do that. You love PC, do that. Nintendo, etc. It doesn't really matter. But going back to what he was saying, I do get, and we've talked about this a million times, but I do understand the frustration from people seeing Sony come out there year after year with, they have a lot of sizzle, but no steak. We never get real dates on games, or if we do get a date on game, it gets pushed back 6 months from what they said, which is, like I said, why I think Sony is smart at this point. Stop giving dates. If you don't know you can hit that date 100%, don't give it. But they did give dates for things like Horizon, which we know are coming. We know The Last Guardian's coming, but God of War and Detroit and, you know, all those other things, they didn't put a date on them. They just showed them. So I get it. Microsoft has taken the different approach of they're giving you hard dates on games. They're showing you this is where we're going in the present, and with Scorpio, this is where we're going in the future. So it all comes down to what excites you. And it sounds like what Microsoft is doing is exciting him. And honestly, what Microsoft is doing is exciting me too. It's funny, and I'll just rant for a second. I tweeted this a few days ago. Uncharted 4 sits unplayed. I'm at a level 11. I have not touched that game in weeks at this point. And I just don't have a desire to go back and play it. And it's funny with PlayStation, when I go down the list of PlayStation games, I really enjoyed Ratchet and Clank. I mean, but that was just a short experience. Bloodborne, I have not played. There was another, I'm forgetting the name, start with a U. What was that other game that came out with a U last year on PlayStation?
The U.
People of Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But the point I'm trying to make is, realistically, the PlayStation exclusive games haven't been that amazing to me. Just being keeping it 100, you know what I mean? I've kind of thought that with this console generation anyways. I really think third party where it is. But my PlayStation 4 is my destiny machine that I play with my son. You know, that's why I own a PlayStation, and I've already invested into Destiny on the PlayStation ecosystem. So I don't see a reason to change from that. Third party games I play on the PC, which again is why I don't own an Xbox One, because none of the Xbox One exclusive games have even been that exciting to me. So, but that's my personal preference. It's not, I'm not telling anyone else to follow my lead or do what I do. That's just what I do. That's how I play games. And look, if I'm not having fun playing a game, if I'm reviewing it, I'll play it until the end. But if it's not a game I'm reviewing and I'm not feeling it, look, I'm 42 years old. I will put it to the side and go play something that I enjoy. I'm not going to force myself to play something I don't enjoy. That's why, like with Halo 5, I caught a bunch of grief about that. To me, that campaign was garbage. So I had no desire to go back and play that campaign again. And the multiplayer just wasn't my cup of tea. That's not the kind of multiplayer I want to play. That's why I don't play Call of Duty anymore. It's not something I want to play. You know what I mean? So, but that's me. And that's, like, again, with this caller. If you're not feeling something, then you're not feeling it, because at the end of the day, you're spending your money on this stuff, not us. We're just three idiots on a podcast. Don't listen to us. Do what you want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Until, don't listen to Paris.
Until Dawn, I think, is what you were trying
until
to
do. Dawn. That's it. Thank
until
you.
Dawn. Hey, I like that game. That game was awesome. Right?
Yeah, I haven't played it. That's what I'm saying. I just haven't played it, because I look on the surface. Those aren't the kind of games that interest me. Like I said, with Bloodborne, bashing my brains in with a game that's super hard isn't necessarily something I want to do. That's why, you know, I got enough of that with Dark Souls. I don't think I want to do that again. You know what I mean? So, but that's just me. You know?
I mean, look, I love Uncharted 4, man. I had a great time with it. You know, I haven't finished the game because I've been playing other games too, but Uncharted 4 is pretty good, man. I know people are going to be bashing it. Oh, it's not game of the year and everything. But look, everybody's going to have different opinions, and it's fine. It's fine. You like you like the Uncharted series? Buy it. If not, there's other games to enjoy, man. You know, so You guys want to read one of the emails that we have?
Actually, yeah, I want to read one. He actually sent it to me and Danny specifically, not to the fan mail. Paris, I forwarded it to you about 10 minutes
yeah, ago. I'm reading it. Yeah, so I read it.
I'll read it. This is from Jamie. Hi, guys. I cannot begin to tell you what an awesome job you guys do. I listen to many gaming podcasts. You guys are head and shoulders above them all. Paris, your insight to CPU versus Xbox has convinced me to follow your lead. I have since removed my Xbox One from my gaming repertoire and have gone full PC. With that in mind, I'd like to share my specs with you and Paris. This was directed to me. And please tell me your opinion for 4K gaming. Also, do you think these specs will be superior to the Scorpio coming out next year? With Xbox Play Anywhere, I totally agree with gaming on the PC negates the need for another Xbox console. My specs, Digital Storm customized PC with an i7 processor, 32 gigs of memory, Asus X99 motherboard, and an NVIDIA GTX Titan X GPU. Your thoughts. Thanks again, and keep making awesome podcasts. Jamie from Colorado. Well, Jamie, thanks for writing in. Appreciate you writing in. I don't think it's the first time he's written in either. The name sounds familiar. Me personally, I think you'll be more than fine with your PC. You know, I don't know the specifics of your i7, if it's overclockable or if that's something that's even, you know, something you want to do, but your Titan X is, it should be more than sufficient to do 4K. So you should be good to go. First.
And
sorry. No, I heard Danny. I was like, oh, Danny's finna give some PC advice. Listen to this.
I was staying quiet, man. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
No, but again, thank you for the email. And yeah, looking at your specs, I would say as a 4K gaming rig, a Titan X is kind of pushing it as a single GPU. You'd probably have to go SLI with Titan X. Because I mean, even the 1080, while I can play 4K games in it, like for example, Witcher 3, I'm not hitting 60 frames per second in it. So you're having more of a quote unquote console experience at 30 frames per second. So I forget exactly Titan X what it looks like, but you could probably hit 4K at 30 frames per second using a Titan X. I mean, more than likely. I mean, again, I don't know if you're in 4K 1080p or whatever. 1080p, you're absolutely fine with any game that you throw at it with a Titan X. 1440p, you should be mostly fine as well. Excuse me. But yeah, I mean, like you said, the decision to just go CPU only PC only versus Xbox, obviously that's what I'm doing. So, I mean, I totally get it. Thumbs up from me. This holiday and going into next spring will say a lot about what Microsoft's strategy is going to be with Xbox Anywhere and if it's going to be 100% worth it. But to go to your ultimate question, will this be more powerful than Scorpio? Technically, yes. I do think with optimization, here's the thing with Scorpio versus a PC. Developers are going to be able to optimize more with whatever that GPU is to quote unquote hit that 4K gaming, where they're not going to necessarily be able to do that on a PC side. So when you hear specs of teraflops and all that kind of stuff, you really can kind of ball it up and throw it in the trash, because the correlation isn't going to be, you know, apples for apples on that, because you're going to have to throw more raw horsepower at a PC GPU than you will at a console GPU, because developers simply can't optimize enough on a PC versus what they can do on a console. So you will probably see some scenarios where there's going to be an Xbox game in 4K that is going to be a better experience than you see on a PC at 4K, unless you have a ridiculous setup. I mean, a truly high-end setup to be able to hit those kind of specs. And when I say a high-end system, you may even need more than just one 1080. You may need 1080 and SLI, for example, something like that, to be able to match what potentially developers can do on the Scorpio, because again, they can optimize for basically one specific spec and they can quote unquote squeeze more juice out of the rock, is what I'm trying to say. So this is my opinion. I could be an idiot. I don't know nothing. So don't listen.
Well, I think what we're trying to say is, yes, you can most definitely do 4K. Now, whether you're going to get the high bar of 60 frames per second, maybe not. You'll probably get closer to 40 to 30.
Right.
You should be fine. I don't know, maybe having a G-Sync enabled monitor might make that easier, because it does get rid of the artifacts that crop up when you start playing games in higher res. Also might be the quality of your 4K panel. If you don't have a 4K monitor, then I guess you'll never know. I mean, I don't have a 4K monitor. I'm playing on 1440 and things look amazing. I don't know if 4K is the ultimate benchmark for me right now. As
yes.
long as I know yes. for you, you're on 4K
no,
right now.
No, so but let me tell you, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but let me tell you this. I'm sorry. Yes, I pulled a Danny. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's me right there.
But trust me when I tell you, going from 1440p looks great. But dude, when I hit that 2160p, I was like, oh. I was like, oh, I get it. Like I said, I've been playing The Witcher 3. I've literally been hitting F12, just taking screenshots. That's how good it looks in 4K. Wow. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Let me hit a screenshot of this real quick. And I know I put a couple in the chat or whatever, so you've probably seen a few. But yeah, man, I mean, that is the next leap, is getting all these games into 4K. And Scorpio, Neo, you know, these 1080 cards are the first step into it. But a couple years from now, when we see, you know, the 2080 or whatever the hell, you know, these next GPUs are going to be on PC, that they can truly hit 4K 60 frames per second, that's a sweet spot. That's why I'm investing going PC now. I get consoles, but everyone doesn't want to build a PC, but I'm definitely going to go PC wise because they're going to be able to hit that true 4K spec a lot earlier than consoles will, in my personal opinion. And when I say that, I mean with ultra settings, all effects on everything, hardware, all that nonsense. That's going to be your first best bet to get to that experience, is going to be on the PC side versus on the console side.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so the next caller is Keon. He's back.
Keon
is back. Yes. So we're gonna play this question right about now.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you guys doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had a really quick question for you guys, pertaining to E3. Well, to Paris's point as far as E3, and you guys kind of hinted on it as well, saying that E3 will probably change from what we know it as today, and how Paris was actually saying that he really has to debate on whether or not he wants to go, because he would be able to get more coverage looking at it maybe from home or on a screen or on the internet, wherever it may be. But my question to you guys is, if it is changing and, you know, it's getting a lot broader, more people are coming out, for press to do their job, we know that the lines at these conventions are hours long to actually get a chance to play a game. Do you think that to get, a journalist's inside point of view, that they may give certain journalists a demo of the game that they can actually download at home instead of having to wait in these long lines, or, you know, just to get the word out to make it a little easier? Now, I know that that's probably not going to happen, but we do have the technology, so do you guys think that E3 may change to that degree? Just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that. Thank you so much for the hard work, and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
All right, so journalists getting E3 demos at home from gaming companies. I really doubt that's ever gonna happen.
Yeah, because it'll leak immediately.
Yeah, they're not gonna do that, man. I mean, I know that some video game companies will go to, let's say, an office like IGN. They'll take the demo over there, so IGN will get that exclusive of them streaming or recording an interview or stuff like that. They've done that in the past, but actually, a journalist covering a game and actually playing it at home, that will never happen, because like you said, Paris, companies don't want stuff to be leaked out there, you know?
So. And as bad as it sounds, I mean, you saw how many things got leaked right before the show opened. I mean, that week before E3 was probably PR's worst nightmare. Granted, part of it was probably leaked on purpose, but yeah, it's there was things that were leaked that probably should have been waited till the show. And that's exactly
what the thing is. Yeah, go for it, Paris.
No, I was just going to say, and I mean, and the number one thing about this is these publishers want to control their message. They can't yep. control the message if they're throwing demos out there in the wild to the press. So if they're so if a press member is hitting a game crushing bug or something, even though it's a beta and it's an early demo, that may negatively affect their opinion and then they're reporting about it, right? But if, like you said, if they're bringing the game to an IGN or they're flying us out to a specific event or we're going to an E3 where they control the scenarios of how we're playing these games and how we're experiencing them, and they're right there ready to answer our questions on the spot, that just makes more sense. I get what he's saying. The technology's there. Yeah, we could do it. But in the world of PR and social media now, where people can take one little quote and turn it, look, again, this Xbox Anywhere thing, one little thing got changed on a quote and all of a sudden everyone's saying, the sky is falling, right? They don't want to put these demos out there and have to risk that being an issue. So I highly doubt that's going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah. And Keon, here's the thing. What Paris was trying to say during our recording at E3 was, there's certain press conferences that happens during E3. Is it worth for us to attend that instead of why not covering it from home or covering it from the hotel or the studio? That makes more sense, instead of, we have to attend to get content. No, there's ways for us to get content. And at the same time, too, when we go to E3, that's another thing, too, is because when we go to E3, we go behind closed doors and actually talk to the developers. And see, that makes more sense for us to attend E3, So I think you got a little bit confused when Paris was talking about that stuff. So.
Well, like one of the scenarios I was thinking of, because, Leo Laporte at Twit, what they do when they're covering one of the big like Apple events or Google events or something like that. They're watching the press conference, but they're doing live commentary. You're giving their raw, honest reactions on air as they're watching. I would love, Giant Bomb kind of does something similar, but say I would love that. To me, is a smarter move versus us being at the event and not. We give our reactions after the event, after we processed everything, but to kind of have that raw feedback right then and there. And again, the technology exists that we can do such a thing. I feel like I could get more out of that versus, like we said, standing in line, fighting through a bunch of just sweaty, angry people trying to get sit down for a video game. It's like I'd rather be at the hotel in a relaxed scenario and watching the event and giving my thoughts that way. Again, like I said, if it's your first time going to E3, I totally get it. You should experience all those things. But look, once you've hit like that 8, 9, 10 year mark, why are we doing this? I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, we should try that next year, Paris.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 100% trying that because that's what I'm doing. I'm assuming we'll still go to things like Microsoft and Sony, right? The two big ones. But the rest of them, I'm doing that from the hotel. I'm not going.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
I believe we have one more email. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We got the Ryan one. I guess I'll read it.
Go for it.
Here we go. So this is Ryan, and he's saying, "Hey, guys, I just wanted to send a personal thank you to you for the inspirational advice given on the last episode. The last voicemail on fan mail, even though it was on a personal and more emotional level, really spoke volume for you guys. Paris, that's me, really stepped up with some..."
Sorry.
I'd be serious on this. Paris really stepped up with some solid advice on a healthy balance between gaming, family, and career. Danny and Pete also had some very good additions to the advice given. I listened to a lot of... Yes. See, I said I'm be serious and you covered with that anyways. Okay, let me say it again. I listen to a lot of podcasts and GTR is the only one I get excited for. And that means a lot considering I have been an Adam Carolla show fan for years. I've never been disappointed from an episode, and after listening to number 578 and hearing the compassion you guys have not only for the gaming community but for your fellow man, really prove you guys have one of the best podcasts available. Even though you did not win the podcast awards, Danny, Pete, and Paris, you are all winners and heroes in every way that matters. Thank you for being there for all of us. Your friend and fan, Ryan." Ryan, thank you very much for that. I mean, really appreciate it. That's very humbling to hear. And, like that last voicemail, if you haven't listened to episode 578, go back and listen to that last voicemail that we had. Or was that a voicemail or email? I don't remember.
Oh, that was an email.
It was an email. But anyways, the point stands, Yeah, I mean, I was just speaking from the heart. That's just how I feel. That's just how I look at it when it comes to trying to balance your real life of your career and your family and video games and podcasting and trying to stay healthy and fit. You know, you have to prioritize those things. What is most important to you? I think obviously family is going to be the most important. You know, your career should be up there as well, or you ain't eating. And then I think staying healthy should be above video games. It really should be. You should prioritize your fitness first and foremost before sitting down to play a video game. And I'm not saying don't make time to play video games, because I do, but you got to find that healthy balance of them, because if you don't, you know, you could find yourself in a dark place really quick.
Yep. And I totally agree with that, man. You know, I think that, you know, I didn't talk about this, but, you know, going to Chicago a couple of days ago, and we attended the event, the awards and stuff. Yeah, we didn't win. That's fine. You know, this is for the Academy of Podcasters. You know, we were nominated and stuff. But see, the best thing about the whole event was me being there with our local listeners from Chicago at the event. Because before the awards, we were just talking, having a great time, talking about the community, talking about, you know, about that, about staying healthy. And we had a lot of great conversations during that. That to me was the best part about attending the awards, was just being there, you know, with our community, you know. So it means a lot to get, you know, voicemails and emails like this, because at the end of the day, you never know who's listening to the podcast, you know, and you never know how many people have changed their lives because of our advice. Because we just having a great conversation, right, Paris? We just speaking from the heart.
Yeah, exactly.
And whatever happens from there, it happens, you know? So I love this. This is the reason why I love recording with Paris and Pete, because little things like this, man, it means a lot to me. So, Pete?
I ain't got nothing else to add. I'm good.
Okay.
Nothing else
He's
to say.
Busy, I mean, playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
Now.
He's just playing Pokemon Go. Get off my lawn.
No, it's true. It's. There's nothing else that could be said. You guys have already, you know, whatever, you know, what you guys said, I'm not going to be able to say any better. So, you know, thanks again for writing in, Ryan. We appreciate all the good words, and it's definitely what we do. It's why we do it.
Yep. We're having a blast with this, yep, man.
I catch you.
So anything else? Anything else before we wrap it up?
Brock Lesnar is a Viking, like from Asgard. He's not real life.
Aren't those that two dude, different things, though?
I made it up. It doesn't matter. The point is, dude, that guy, dude, he's a friggin' monster. I mean, and not just for getting Mark Hunt on the ground, just looking at him. It's like, that's not real life. And look, and I'm doing air quotes here. He passed the steroid test, too. So, look, and he's looked this way for, God, what, 20 years at this point? You know, ever since he first started with the wrestling and everything. So it's, mm-hmm, I halfway just believe he's just a different species of human. He's like the mountain on Game of Thrones, man. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, they create these dudes in the lab, man. It's insane. So I'm not saying that Brock is going to win the heavyweight title in the UFC again, but I hope he fights again. I really do. I want to see him go up against Overeem again, or even Kane. I would love to see that. And Kane, look, Kane's healthy. Kane's getting the belt. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Whether Overeem wins
Kane
it
is no joke.
Kane will get his title back. If he stays healthy, that guy is pound for pound the best fighter in the UFC. Well,
you heard what he said last night. What I think it was Goldberg said it. He threw his shoulder out when he fought Brock, trying to flip him. That just goes to show how huge Lesnar is. And the other thing that Goldberg said during the fight was Lesnar was throwing mailboxes. And that's how big his hands are. They're triple XL size custom gloves. And you could hear it as he was pounding on Hunt's head. Like, you could hear the thud. Like, you could just imagine the amount of contact being made by those mailboxes, essentially.
Yeah, it's not real life. That's all I gotta say. It's not real life. But I will just say this one last thing. I'll shut up about UFC. John Jones is an idiot. Period. Just period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
literally the most talented fighter we've ever seen in this sport, and he is throwing it all away. It's so
disappointment.
Dumb.
I will say,
major fail.
And I don't know if maybe this was just DC going easy on Silva, or what have you. But if that it was the DC we were going to see last night, Jones would have murdered him.
Oh, yeah, he would have. He would have murked him. He absolutely would have murked him. But it's hard to say, though, man, because, I mean, so he that fight was made in 2 days. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't it's a completely different style going up against Silva than what you would John Jones. And that's the first thing DC said was like, look, I prepared for a completely different style fighter. So, look, he did the smart thing. He was like, I'm just going to lay my big ass on Silva and not let him move.
And I think I said it in the chat last night. Like, you saw what happened that last minute in the last mm-hmm. round. He was like, all right, we'll go toe-to-toe. We'll throw hands. And then after he got rocked on a couple of shots, he was like, nope, no thank you. I'm out. I'm done. Nope. Yep. What was it I say? Oh, as Cormier plays smother, and it is very effective.
He pretty much did. That's exactly what he did. And
I'm saying they have like two last things to say about that. One is Vince McMahon is smiling right now behind the scenes.
Yes, he is.
He is going to take advantage of this and come up with some like crazy script for, you know, SummerSlam and you know, the future WWE with Brock Lesnar. So that's like the best thing to happen to them. Second, I think I never talked about this, but during E3, I was walking around and I had an opportunity to take a picture with Anderson Silva. He was like walking around at one of the booths at E3. And I was like, okay, I could take a picture with him right now or go get that big interview, that exclusive at 2K Games booth. And I was like, you know what? Let me go to 2K, man. I'll see him around. And I went back where he was at and he disappeared. I'm like, oh, whatever. It's all good. So, but anyway, Pat, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I just want to say the one last thing. I promise I'll shut up on UFC after this. Misha Tate, just like Holly Holm before her, listen to Dana White. He freaking told you, don't take a fight until you fight Rousey. Both of them have thrown away so much money by not waiting to fight Ronda Rousey that, you know, and it's like now I even forget the girl's name. That's just how much
Amanda
I don't know
Nunes.
About her.
Amanda
yeah, Amanda. Ma-
she
yeah,
is
Amanda-
a beast.
Oh, yo, she's a monster. Absolute monster. But the point is, they're not going to make the same money with her fighting Rousey that they would have made with the Holly Holm rematch or her fighting Misha Tate again. You know, it's just money's left on the table. So I get it. They're fighters. They want to fight. They want to do their thing. But at some point, you got to think business, man. Business was wait an additional 6 months and then get the biggest fight of your freaking career and the biggest payday of your career, or take a fight in the middle and risk it all to fight someone that no one's even heard about until they actually saw her freaking choke your ass out last night. You know what I mean? It's I don't know that because when I studied up on her a little bit before the fight, I was telling everyone because we're having a party. I was like, ooh, Misha in trouble. Misha's in trouble. And that's exactly what happened. So
it worked for Ronda. She took her time and everything.
She spent a year. I think she was at American Top Team in Doral in Miami. She came up and so she left her family in Brazil and came up to Miami to train with American Top Team and prepare exactly for what she did last night.
Yep.
She's no joke. She put it to her, broke her nose and everything. You saw that in the post post fight. She had a broken nose and everything.
Nunes. 305, baby.
Nunes might be here for a while. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
All right, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag and listen to our past episodes. And you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and all the podcast directories. Share with your friends and spread the word. Spread the word to others there. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And that's about it. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.